This evening, we want to discuss the parable that Jesus delivers to the people in the 18th chapter of Luke. We read there, verses 9 through 14, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In this, Jesus picks two men that you might say are as different between night and day. He picks one man who is called a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee was known as an individual that was of the very strictest of sect of the Jews, according to Acts 26 and 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. This is Paul talking. Paul was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He said that he was circumcised on the eighth day. Why, he was a Jew of the Jews. He was even a Pharisee of the strictest sect, he says. These were people who were just zealous over how to worship God. They felt like following it to the very T, doing everything that was supposed to be done on the day, on the time, and on the way it was supposed to be done. They were individuals that were ones that walked through the streets and they would say their prayers aloud. They would have upon their wrist, they would have something called a phylactery, or it might be upon their forehead, and in it was the commandments of God. So they showed that they wore them in front of themselves and that they followed God in all things that God wanted them to do. They thought to themselves, or other people might look at them and think, that they were the righteous men. They were the men who were the examples of how people ought to live their lives according to the Mosaic law. The other was a publican. The publican was a very hated individual. He was an individual that was a tax collector. Nobody likes a tax collector. Then he was not only just a tax collector, but he was a tax collector that was a Jew himself. His job was, and he was paid by the Roman government, to go out and collect as many taxes as he possibly could from his fellow brethren. So you could see that nobody liked a publican, would not only be in the fact he was a tax collector, but be in the fact that he was a Jew as well. And so people looked at him as traitors. They looked at him as people that were betraying their own kind because they were causing them to collect taxes or to pay taxes to a Roman government that they despised. So here Jesus picks these two individuals, which you might say are just as different as night and day. But the thing about this Pharisee is, this Pharisee, though he looked like he was a whited sepulchre, Jesus said, on the outside, was inwardly full of ravening wolves. He was inwardly decrepit, and inwardly he was just like that sepulchre was, full of dead men's bones. The publican, on the other hand, though he had a job to do, and though he did it to his ability or however he did it, his inward man was different. Jesus says that these two men went up to the temple to pray. Now I want you to look at this word that he says, that they went into the temple to pray. They went up there, because you see, to go to the temple in Jerusalem, you had to go up there. The temple was built in the high part of Mount Moriah. Jerusalem itself set in Mount Moriah, but up there was the place called the Temple Mound. It was higher than the rest. It was a place in which if you wanted to go to the temple and you were in Jerusalem, you went up to go to the temple. And people did this several times a day. Why? Because the Jews believed that going to the temple, and of course they knew that the holiest of holy places existed there, and this is the closest place that they could go to be near God. Where else would you go offer your prayers? There's people today that even seem to feel that way. They think that if you go to church, that's the time to offer your prayers. That's when you're closest to God. Well, these individuals felt the same way. They felt like they needed to go down to that temple or up to that temple, and they needed to go there and they needed to pray and get as close to God as they possibly could. The difference between the two, and we're going to draw a picture of what the temple looked like. Now, the temple, as you know, was built originally by King Solomon. Well, that temple was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire somewhere around 600 years before Christ. After that, Nehemiah come along, and Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt the temple. Then Zerubbabel continued to remodify the temple until the day that Jesus is there. The temple is built by Herod the Great. He's the king there, and Herod is the king at this point, and he's wanting to make the people satisfied. Now, the king at this time is Herod Agrippa. His grandfather was Herod the Great, which started this. This is the temple that they said, when Jesus said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll rebuild it, was not speaking of this temple. He was speaking of the temple of his body, because they said this temple was 40 years in the building. Now, the thing about this temple was that this outer part was a courtyard, and it was separated by an inner part. This outer part was given to the Gentiles, because there were a lot of Gentiles in the city of Jerusalem now, because they fell under Roman domination, and because there was also something else. It was given to the women. Gentiles could not participate in the worship service of the Jews. They were not allowed to. Women did not participate in the temple matters either. But to give them an area, Herod wanted to build a place for them. So it was full of columns all the way around and had a porch, you might say, or had a covering over it all the way around. It was grand. The walls out here would be very, very high. The temple within itself, down into this place where the temple was actually at, would even be much higher. If you drive down I-4, you go down there near that place that they call the place of Jerusalem. I forget exactly what they call it, but it's a tourist site. And if you went down there and you were to look over and see it, you'd see this big building standing. Well, that's what they built as the temple. It stood up higher than all the rest of it that was around there. Once you came in through this place here, you now came into the court of the Israelites. The court of the Israelites is where people could now go in, if they were the men, to participate in the services. Now here is where the temple itself was, and the court around this temple was the temple for the priest. So everybody had their part, and they had their position to go to. These two men, when they went up there to pray, this is where they went. They came into this area. Because they weren't priests, they could not go in here. Because they were Jews, they could go past this point, and they could come into here. As a matter of fact, there was a plaque that was placed right here on the wall that said that anyone who was not a Jew entering past this point was subject to death. You remember, Paul speaks of tearing down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and some say that he reflected towards this wall that was here, because it separated. It gave a separation between the Jews and coming to God and the Gentiles, which had to stay out here. Well, these two men came into this area to pray. The Pharisee came, as we're going to surmise from this story and the things that Jesus tells us, he came as close as he possibly could over here to the very temple itself. Within the court of the temple here was the altar of burnt offering. That's where they would offer sacrifice every day to God. It's where they offered sacrifice on the Day of Atonement and all other sacrifices. And then there was this bowl of water here known as the laver. Then you entered into the temple where the holy place and the holiest of holy places was at. So this Pharisee, he comes over here as close as he can. Well, you know that once you came through this gate here, the first thing that probably would catch your attention was the fact that this altar was there, and it was burning, and smoke was ascending on it. The publican wouldn't even go close to this. Over here, you see, in the holiest of holy places is where they would say you would be closest to God at. So this Pharisee comes over here as close as he can get, but notice what the Bible says. It says the publican, he stood afar off. We see he was in the temple because the Bible tells us they went into the temple to pray. He was in this courtyard, but he stood afar off. He stood back as far as he could. He wanted to be in there, but he would not dare approach God any closer. The Pharisee was an individual the Bible teaches to us here is self-righteous. In Romans 9:30-32, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not obtained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, the thing about this Pharisee was that he was self-righteous. In other words, he made his own self righteous. He thought that by performing the works of the law, he himself would be righteous. And that's what Paul refers to here. Israel followed after the law of righteousness, but did not obtain it, because they sought it not by faith. He thought to himself, I'll make myself righteous by the works that I do. I can no more be righteous. I cannot possibly be righteous if it's not but for the work of God. But the Pharisee did not look at it that way. He looked at it that he could be righteous by doing the works of the law. He proclaimed himself, basically, to be righteous. Notice how he prayed. The Bible says within himself, I thank thee that I am not as other men. He put himself higher than other men. He was one of these pompous people thinking himself he was better because he followed the law. In Philippians 3, 8 and 9, yea, doubtless I count all things to be but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So here Paul says, the way man accomplishes righteousness is that he accomplishes it by faith. He comes to God on God's terms. He does what God wants him to do. God will declare him righteous. A man cannot declare his own self righteous, but this Pharisee had. He, just as many other Pharisees had done, and just as many other people have done even to this day, thinking to themselves they are righteous. Romans 3, 25 and 26 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice what he says here. He talks about God declaring his righteousness in Jesus Christ. And there's no way that a man can be righteous unless he is in Jesus and declared so by God. But this Pharisee, he thought to himself, he was righteous. I'm sure at first when the Pharisees started listening to what Jesus was going to say, that they began to think to themselves, this is going to be a wonderful story. He's telling us about a Pharisee and a publican. Why, that's night and day. And if you try to compare us to a publican, why, there's just no contest. And I'm sure that the Pharisees standing there, because remember, they thought themselves righteous, he says in this parable, and despised others. So they were thinking to themselves, you're going to compare us to what a publican does? There's no contest. They thought they'd win it hands down. But Jesus goes to look at the man from inside. He was a religious man. The Pharisee was a very religious man. He believed in praying. He went up there to that temple to do just that. He believed in performing his duties. Galatians 1, 13 and 14 says, for have ye heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul here is talking about himself when he used to persecute the church. Then you hear about me, he says, when I was zealous, I followed the tradition of my fathers. He says, I was an individual that was above others because I was exceedingly more zealous. I was profited in the Jews' religion. So you see, like Paul was, or Saul of Tarsus, so was this Pharisee. He was religious. Let's make no doubt about it. But did being religious make him a good man? Not according to what Jesus is saying here. Did going and performing all the duties he was supposed to perform make him the man he was supposed to be? Not according to what Jesus is saying here. So it's not just the outward things that we are to do, but it is that which is inward that we must look upon as well. We are not to neglect the outward duties. As this man went to do what he was supposed to, so are we. We can't say, well, I'll just ignore worshiping God, I will ignore the religious part of what God wants me to do, and I'll just be a Christian inwardly. There's many people like that. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to attend any kind of a service in which they would worship God or give God his due, because they want to think to themselves, I'll just be righteous inside. Let's don't get it wrong. The Pharisee was a religious man. He was not wrong in being religious. What he was wrong in was that that's where he placed all his stock, was in the fact he was a religious man. He had great faith, but his faith was in himself and not in God. 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Paul says that when we partake of the bread and of Jesus Christ and the cup, he says we are to examine ourselves. That's one thing this Pharisee lacked. He lacked the ability to look at himself and see just exactly what kind of person he was. He was more than willing to look over here at this publican and listen to him. And listen to some of the things that he says as he begins to pray. He stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So you see, he thought great of himself. The faith he had, though, was in himself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. We are to examine ourselves. This Pharisee was incapable of that. He could not look at his own self and see any faults at all. He could see the faults in others, but he could not see the fault in himself. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And we know that the word charity here is love, is being spoken of. Paul says love does not puff itself up. But this Pharisee had puffed himself up. He had no love for another person. That was another thing that he shows. Here he is more than willing to say, I'm glad I'm not like this publican. He had no love for him. But he was puffed up in his own self. Colossians 2 and 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which ye have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Men begin to puff themselves up and begin to think more of themselves than they should. They begin to stray away from what God has intended for them. Instead of thinking of ourselves as servants and helps of others, we begin to think about ourselves as better than others. That's what this publican had done. In Romans 12 and 3, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's a lesson for us. We are not to think more highly of ourselves than we are. Think that we're better than what we are. He also was guilty because he had no sense of personal need before God. Notice, in his prayer, he does not ask God for anything. He states how he is. He states that he is glad that he's not like other men, but he doesn't give the credit to God. He says he fasts twice in a week, and he gives tithes of all that he possesses. These are the things that were important to him, the things that he showed. Remember, Jesus, he condemned the Pharisees because they would fast and they would wrinkle their face and let their countenance fall so that men would recognize that that's what they were doing. Instead, Jesus said, you should wash your face and stand upright and not show it before man, but before God. He gave of his tithes. That was a part of the law of what they should do. So he was proud of that and boasted of that. He didn't show any need for God in his prayer whatsoever. Luke 12 and 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The man that had the great amount that he wanted to tear down the barns, make new barns and build more, it was because he had such great possessions. Jesus says, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose are those things going to belong to? And he called him a fool. Well, that's how this Pharisee was. In Revelation 3 and 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus, in writing to the churches which were in Asia, and one of them he speaks here, because they thought to themselves to be rich in qualities, rich in food, rich in money. But Jesus says that they don't realize that really they're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a contrast to what they thought they were as to what they really were. And when he told them they were miserable, poor, blind, and naked, he was not talking about things of the world that they had in possession, but he was talking about their spiritual life. Matthew 6 and 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what need ye have before ye ask him." We're not to be like the Pharisee that had no need of God and asked God for nothing. He knows our needs, and he wants us to ask him for those things we need. He had, as we already mentioned, no love for others. Matthew 5:43-44 says, "You've heard it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus here is referring to the old law in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, when he says in the 43rd verse, "Ye have heard it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor." Well, that's just what they were supposed to do. Even though this publican, he was a Jew, which made him neighbor or of the same family this Pharisee was. They could have been from the very same tribe for all he knew. He was commanded to love this man no matter what he was, but he did not. The publican, and by the way, Matthew in the Gospels, the first Gospel that you come to in your Bible, he was a publican. He was an individual that was selected of Christ to be an apostle, but he had the characteristic of being a publican. I don't know what the other apostles must have thought when Jesus picked a publican to be one of his apostles. What would they be thinking? What would Jesus be thinking to pick such a man? But nonetheless, Jesus wanted to prove a point, that it was on the inner man again that he was looking at. He is a man who abases himself. He humbles himself. And he stands afar off, as we already mentioned. Instead of coming over here where this Pharisee went, and where he went to proclaim what he was, and to point out that the publican, he was glad he wasn't like him. The publican, he stands afar off. The publican, he wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven, the Bible says. He went in there with his head hung down to the ground. He took his fist and he smote his breast, the Bible says, because of his sins that he had within him, and he says, "God, forgive me, the sinner that I am." He showed true repentance. He showed true humbleness before God, and he showed a true need before God. "Be merciful to me, the sinner that I am." He didn't go in there self-righteous. He didn't go in there thinking that he was better than anyone else. He went in there thinking he was lowest of low. Why? Because he was a publican? No. But because of the sins that he had committed. And such as Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Proverbs 16:19 says, "Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the ground." A humble spirit is of great importance to God, according to Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." God respects the humble heart, but he does not respect the proud heart. This man, too, believes in prayer. He's religious. He goes up for the same reason the Pharisee goes. But he believes in prayer from a different form. Not a time to proclaim his righteousness, not a time to proclaim to God his good deeds or the things that he has done, but a time to go to God and ask for the things that he knows he cannot do for himself. 1 John 1:9 teaches us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we're willing to confess to God our sins after we have come into Jesus Christ and been baptized into him for the remission of our sins, God listens to us and he is faithful and just to forgive us of the sins that we confess and ask him to forgive us of. Proverbs 28:13, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If a person tries to cover their sin, they'll not prosper, he says. They're not going to stand good in the sight of God. But the man that's willing to humble himself in the sight of God and say, "I am a sinner," as this publican did, then he'll be a different story. Him God will respect. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." This man was sensible of the holiness of God. That's why he stood afar off. He would not dare come any closer, being the lowly man that he was. He probably felt of himself like Job did. I'm nothing but dust and ashes. I'm just the lowest thing there is of this earth. Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. This man took notice of who God is. He didn't just say, okay, he's God. He took notice of who he is. Because of it, he would not approach, nor would he lift his eyes towards God in heaven. Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. The man is conscious of his own sinfulness. He knows his state. Such as in John 8 and 9, when they brought the woman to Jesus who had been caught in the very act of adultery. And they said, according to the law of Moses, she should be stoned to death. What do you say? Jesus said, told them that ye without sin first cast a stone at her. The Bible says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. They were convicted that day of the sins they had done. They had no right to pick up a stone and to throw it at her. They themselves had sinned, and in the same manner she had. And yet they were more than willing at first to condemn her to death and to throw the stones at her, till Jesus convicted everyone in their conscience. If you have no sin, then you can throw a stone. There's not a one of us can throw that stone. Well, this man realized he couldn't have thrown the stone either. He was a publican. He realizes in his life he had sinned, and he so had confessed it to God. 1 Timothy 1 and 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. We should have a good conscience before God. Lastly, this man pleads for the atoning sacrifice. He pleads that God would be merciful to him. Let's read what he says. He standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying these very few words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's all he had to say. He didn't say to God what he had done. He didn't say to God of all the things that he was and glad that he wasn't. He just asked him, be merciful to me, the sinner that I am. Romans 9 and 15 says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. If we want God's mercy, then we have to come to the realization that we are sinners and we need him. And we need the atoning blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And this man asked for mercy. On top of the Ark of the Covenant was a place known as the mercy seat. And the closest word that we have in the New Testament is propitiation. And propitiation means an atoning sacrifice. And the top of that mercy seat showed that the way to God was through his mercy. And mercy was shown and given to us at Calvary. And through that mercy, that propitiation, that atoning sacrifice, then we can have mercy for the sins which we have done. Ephesians 2 and 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. God loved us and gave us his great mercy. Matthew 23 and 23 says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and mint and nice and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So Jesus is saying, yes, be religious like the Pharisee, but be clean inside. Be religious like the Pharisee, but depend on God. Be religious like the Pharisee, but not self-righteous like the Pharisee. Be religious like the Pharisee, but not boasting and proud and puffed up like the Pharisee. Do the things that we're supposed to do, but don't forget about the inward man. John 2 and 2, 1 John says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, not ours only, but also the whole world. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the atoning sacrifice for the whole world. Listen to what Jesus says to these Pharisees' great surprise, I am sure, to their great astonishment. Why, here he has just finished comparing a publican, one of the lowest, worst people that you could imagine in their eyes, to a Pharisee, an upright, person, a righteous person, a leader of other people, a learner of the law, a student of the law, and one who would walk around pronouncing himself that he was such. Jesus says, I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee in his matter was not justified. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'm sure that this astonished the Pharisees that were listening to him. Probably made them somewhat mad that Jesus had dared to compare the two and said that the publican went home justified. But he went home justified because of his inner man. The Pharisee was not justified for the very same reason. There be one this evening. Won't you come while we stand and sing?